I am excited to be continuing our discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, because I know that as we continue to talk about them, as we continue to go to God's Word, see what God has to say about the gifts of the Holy Spirit, as we continue to dialogue as a church body, that it's going to unite us, it's going to encourage us, and as we really learn this, what the gifts are for and how to use them, and then we start walking in it, as we learn it, it's going to bring life, more life, to this church body, because we're going to be experiencing more of what God really has for His church. And so this study through these three chapters of 1 Corinthians are exciting me more and more and more. In fact, as I'm studying it and God is giving us direction about it, I'm getting more and more convinced that we really got to learn this. I mean, we really need to grow in this area as a church. Yes, we are a Spirit-filled church. Yes, we are walking in the gifts and using the gifts. But I just see God has so much more. And I'm not trying to say that in a way to spook people out and weird them out and get them going, oh no, no. I mean, just God is good and He does things in a good, gentle, right way. And we got to know that about God. And then approach this whole aspect of the gifts of the Holy Spirit with that understanding. 2 weeks ago, we launched into this study in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. The first half of that chapter, we discovered that you are gifted. Every believer, God's Word says, if you need to go back and read it in the first half of 1 Corinthians 12, every believer has been given by God, as He apportions it, as He wills it, as He sees fit, have been given spiritual gifts. Gifts from the Holy Spirit. So you, as a believer, as a born-again believer, you are gifted. And you need to remind yourself of that. And so if you're gifted and you have a gift, I mean, most of us, if we know we've got this amazing gift given from God Himself, if it was like a physical gift, we'd be running all around looking for it, ready to open it up. You have, even beyond that, you have spiritual gifts that God, the creator of the universe, has given you. Seek them out. Find them. Open them up. Embrace them. And let God lead you in how to use those gifts. Then last week, we went from you are gifted to you are needed. The second half of 1 Corinthians chapter 12. You see, we learned that you're a critical member of the body of Christ. And that when every member of the body of Christ shows up, like when we get together, read the second half of chapter 12 again, but when we come together, and when we come together using our gifts, because again, that is all in the context of the use of the spiritual gifts. When we come together using our gifts, that's when the body of Christ is going to thrive. And that's when the church is going to have real impact in our world today. If we stay at home, we stay divided, we're not going to have impact. Divided they what? They fall, right? They don't thrive. Divided they fall. United they stand. We need to come together united. And then Paul is saying, and when you come together, come with your gifts. The gifts that you've been gifted with, come with your gifts and you will thrive. And you will impact your world. Today, we're going to learn that as amazing as these gifts of the Holy Spirit are, if they are not wrapped in love, then they're at best less than. And in a worst case scenario, if we don't wrap our gifts in love, what's going to happen? We could cause real harm and hurt to others. The title of today's message is Wrapped in Love. That's W-A-R-P-P-E-D. That kind of wrap. Don, not, you know, all right, not, yeah, okay, all right. So what I've done is I've wrapped this message into three packages or three parts. So let's dive right in to part number one of this message. I've titled it, Wrap Your Gifts in Love. The spiritual gifts are beautiful, but how we use them makes all the difference. How we use them makes all the difference. Let's allow Paul to walk us into this. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, beginning in verse 1. God's word says, if I speak in the tongues of men, it's prophesying, speaking in the tongues of men that men can understand. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, spiritual language, tongues, if I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but have not love, I am a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. And if I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, again, he's going through the different gifts of the Spirit. Remember that we talked about. If I use all these gifts and have all these gifts from the Holy Spirit, and if I have all faith so as to remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. Even if I give away all I have, and if I deliver my body up to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's called the love chapter. And it's interesting that it is smack dab in the middle of Paul's discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. You would think that the love chapter would be in the middle of a teaching about marriage. Or maybe the love chapter would be in the middle of a teaching about how to take care of widows and orphans and the poor. But interestingly enough, the love chapter is smack dab in the middle of a discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. It's not an accident. It's not an accident. Think about it. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are powerful. They're very powerful because they're from God. They're very powerful, and anything that is powerful is going to have impact. And powerful things are going to leave a mark on people, aren't they? Either good or bad. You run into something powerful, it's going to leave a mark and it's going to impact you, either for the good or for the bad. And so the gifts, they're beautiful, they bring life, they build others up, but if we don't use them properly, they can really run somebody over and they can cause hurt and harm rather than the good that they're designed to cause. And it really comes down to our motivation. If our motivation isn't to use these gifts from a place of love in order to show love to God and in order to show love to others, then we're going to miss it. We're going to completely miss the mark. What's the definition of missing the mark? What does that define? Sin. That's what sin is. To miss the mark. Wasn't it William Tell, or who was it who had the apple on their head? William Tell. So he puts the apple on the head, right? And it's the archer, and he's drawing the bow back with the arrow and releases it to shoot the apple off of the person's head. You don't want that person to miss the mark, right? And so here you are in the body of Christ, and we got our brothers and sisters, and they've got their bows, and they've got their arrows, and they've got their gifts, and they're ready to release them. We don't want to miss, because if we miss, it can cause a lot of pain and a lot of hurt. So the gifts of the Holy Spirit are beautiful and they're powerful and they're meant for, what did we learn 2 weeks ago? For the common good, for the building up of the body of Christ. So we need to know how to use them. Let me tell you a personal story. Some of you may have already heard this story. I grew up in a charismatic church. My parents started going to, they were saved, filled with the Holy Spirit when I was about 10 years old. And it was dramatic. I mean, it went from my dad smoking several packs of cigarettes a day to immediately when he was filled with the Holy Spirit. Couldn't stand the smell. He was grossed out by it, never smoked another cigarette again in his life. God is powerful. The Holy Spirit, God coming on our lives, is powerful. Powerful. So, I got to grow up in an environment where the gifts of the Spirit were being used. And it was exciting. I mean, people were speaking in tongues and people were prophesying and people were giving words of knowledge and there was life in the church and people would go up periodically. They would have people come up for prayer and people would go up for prayer and different things would happen when they went up for prayer. Sometime it got a little active, okay? And so this is going on as I'm growing up. Well, I'm a teenager. I'm about 16 years old and I'm sick and I'm at church. We live 45 minutes away from church and we went no matter what. We all got in the car and we all went to church every single Sunday. And I'm not feeling well. I decide, okay, they're calling us up for prayer. For those who aren't feeling well, I go up for prayer. And the person praying for me that day was a little full of zeal, I'm going to say. I believe in the best in people. They were just full of zeal. They were really excited. They really wanted me to get a touch from God. They wanted me to experience the whole thing. And I'm a 16-year-old guy, right? And I go up for prayer, and they're praying for me and going after it, and then they start pushing on me and start pushing on me and start pushing. And you know what my response was to that? Now, I didn't verbalize it, but I just kept backing up. But how it affected me was, is this stuff all real? Or is this how it works? Just about pushing people? Is it just about, you know, these kinds of things? What's it all about? And so I had an experience where the gifts of the Spirit, while they were being used broadly in a wonderful way, in a beautiful way, somebody got a little exuberant about it. And as a 16-year-old young man, it affected me. And so I pushed away from the gifts of the Spirit and really even the fullness of the Holy Spirit for years of my life. And that wasn't a good thing ultimately for me. And so I'm pointing out here, I'm telling you this story as we're going into chapter 13 to understand the context that Paul is talking about here. The gifts of the Spirit are good, they're beautiful, they're needed. Bring them, desire them, eagerly go after them, grow in them. They're going to bring unity, they're going to bring life, they're going to bring impact in and through the body of Christ, but wrap them in love and understand that this is something that's of God and it's powerful, and we need to steward it well and rightly so that 16-year-old young men, you know, don't get weirded out anyway and affected negatively about it. You hear what I'm saying? The gifts of the Holy Spirit are good. So let's ensure that we use them, that they're wrapped in love. So number one, wrap your gifts in love. The second part of our study this morning, I'm titling, so how do we wrap a gift? How do we do this? How do we wrap a spiritual gift in love? What might that look like? Now, chapter 13 here, Paul's description about what love is, it's universal and it can be applied to any area of life. You can read chapter 13 and you can apply it to how you treat your wife, how you treat your children, how you treat your siblings. You can take this, you want to know how to love, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. This is universal truth. But again, Paul is speaking this universal truth in the middle of a teaching and a discussion about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. So what I want to do is I want to go to chapter 13 here, beginning in verse 4. I'm just going to go through verses 4 through, I believe it's 7. Verses 4 through 7. And I want to read those verses and do a little commentary on this truth about what love looks like in the context of using the spiritual gifts. So this is kind of like Pastor Eric's amplified love version of 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Anyway, so are we ready for this? You got your Bibles open? 1 Corinthians 13, beginning in verse 4 now. Love is patient and kind. Love is patient and kind. Let's look at this. What does that mean in relation to us using the spiritual gifts in the body of Christ? Well, when we use the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given us, we must show kindness. We must show compassion and consideration to other people. You know, we've been given this gift. It's not just like, just because we have the gift, it's a green light to just run with it and just go, you know, barrel through the body of Christ and through your brothers and sisters with this gift. That's not the same thing. Just because we have a gift, we still have to be wise on how we use it. I think of my son, Ben. He was given a gift of being able to take a hammer and smash. I'm sorry, Ben, but you're a pastor's son and this kind of stuff happens. It just does. And he was given the gift of being able to smash an old hard drive that I had. It was from years ago. I didn't remember what was on there. I just didn't want to deal with it. So I just said, here's a hammer. Go out back and smash the hard drive so nobody gets any of our bank information or anything like that. And so he takes the hammer. He goes out back. And it's to him, it's a gift. I get to smash something. I mean, a boy, 10-year-old, that's like, woo! That's a gift. And so he goes out there with a hammer. He starts smashing it. Well, this thing, you know, you smash that, it kind of gets bouncy, and he's standing under that, and he smashed it with a hammer. The hammer bounces off the hard drive, comes up, and hits him right in the chin. That's why he has that nice little mark on his chin. Gifts are good, but we got to be careful how we use them. Otherwise, if we just use them just because you have the gift, I guess is what I'm saying, just because you have the hammer and the hard drive, doesn't mean you just go out and start swinging full bore because you might hurt yourself or you might hurt somebody else. So love is patient and it's kind. So as we use the gifts that God's given us, we must use them with kindness and show consideration and compassion to those that we're ministering to in the context of these particular gifts. We must also show patience. Patience is what? Long-suffering. And when I read it in the context of this, I look at it and I think, okay, how do you show patience in the context of spiritual gifts? Well, sometimes you wait with a word because it's not the right time and you listen to the Holy Spirit before you give that particular word. Another way of showing patience or long-suffering is we're all growing. We're all learning how to use these gifts and we got to be patient with one another and not expect everybody to be right where we are right now. You know, why don't you believe, you know, why don't you have faith like I have right now? Why are you dragging your feet on this? We need to be patient with one another and long suffering with one another. That's how we love one another and show love in the context of the spiritual gifts. We don't run over each other. Paul's got more to say about this. So love is patient and kind. Then he says, love does not envy or boast. So the spiritual gifts are not badges of honor. We talked about that. They're not. It's not a competition. Remember we discussed that? I believe it was last week. It's not a competition. Because if we do that, then we start envying one another. If we start making it a competition, who has what gift? And I want that gift. And that's just gross. Love doesn't operate that way. Love doesn't envy and love doesn't boast. We can never be jealous of one another and the spiritual gifts. Instead, as I said a week or two ago, I said we need to rejoice that our brother or sister has this gift and that they're using it in the body of Christ and it's benefiting the whole body. It's benefiting the whole church. So rather than feeling like it's a competition or envying because, oh, this person has this gift or they're further along in this particular gift or they get words more than I get words for this or that. Or when they pray for people, man, they're healed like that. They have that gift of healing. I want that and I envy it. No, that's not the right approach. Love doesn't do that. We don't envy one another. The other thing is we don't boast about it. These gifts are from God. They're gifts of the Holy Spirit that He's given to us, the church, to use for His glory, not for our glory. We must use them for His glory alone. We cannot boast in ourselves, but only in the Lord. It's all about Him, and it's all for His glory. So we never envy or boast. We wrap our gifts and the use of the gifts in the body of Christ in love, not in jealousy and envy and pride or any of that. That's not love, and that's not of God. Paul continues, he says, love is not arrogant or rude. How many of you know that pride is ugly? It's gross. It's not of God. It comes from the flesh. It comes from brokenness. It's not love. Pride is ugly. And pride will actually shut the door on what God wants to do in our lives. Because what pride is saying, I got this. It's all me. And I'm going to tell you what, if we say we got it, God's going to say, okay, you got it, you go for it. It's going to shut the door on what God's going to be able to do in your life and in a congregation. And so in the area of spiritual gifts, you've been given spiritual gifts. Don't be arrogant about it. Don't be prideful. Don't use them for yourself. Understand where those gifts have come from, that they're from God, and allow God to do what He wants to do. It says in Proverbs 16:18 that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. Additionally, we can't use our gifts in a rude manner. We've talked briefly already about that. The powerful, wonderful, beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit can be used in a rude manner. Some of us, like myself, may have experienced that at some point in time. It's not a fun thing. It's not a pretty thing. Now, I will ask you this, as believers who are quick to forgive and who don't take offense quickly, that you just, if gifts are ever used in a rude way, let it roll off your back. Don't become offended at God over it. Just don't go there. Because it's just going to do like it did to me for several years. Keep me from really all that God had for me. Because I got offended at it. And ultimately, I really wasn't offended at God. I was offended at people. And that just wasn't a healthy thing. But love is not rude. So we can never rudely shove our spiritual gifts in the face of others. We can't be pushy with our gifts. I really encourage us, as a healthy body of Christ, as a healthy church, that we don't rudely shove the gifts in people's face. But we walk softly. We walk with love and consideration for others. Remember what Paul said. He said the same, very similar thing about Christian liberty. You know, freedom in Christ. You're free to eat this. You're free to drink that. You're free to act this way. You don't have to do this anymore. You have Christian liberty and freedom now. He said, but if it causes you to be rude to others and step on other people's feet and offend others and even cause others to sin, then don't exercise your Christian freedom and liberty. Don't do it at the expense of others. This is a very similar charge, I believe, as Paul is talking about wrapping your gifts in love and not being rude. If you desire so much to use a gift, but you feel as though and the Holy Spirit is saying anything about now probably isn't the time, listen to the voice of God. Don't shove something in somebody's face and run over somebody in the name of it's a gift of the Holy Spirit and they've just got to suck it up and deal with it. No, that's not right. Just as it's not right to use our Christian freedom and our Christian liberty if it's going to hurt other people. We can't do that either with our gifts. We've got to wrap the gifts of the Holy Spirit in love. That doesn't mean you don't use them. You've got to be led by the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit, one of them is what? Gentleness. Gentleness. Love does not insist on its own way, Paul says. It's not irritable or resentful. Remember, the gifts are for the common good. Therefore, the common good for the body of Christ. It says in Philippians 2, 3, and 4, Paul writes to the church and he says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. We must have this mindset as we are using the gifts of the Holy Spirit in the church for the common good, looking to the interests of the whole body of Christ, not just ourselves, but to everyone. Moving on, in verse 6, Paul writes that love does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. It doesn't rejoice in wrongdoing. So we don't point fingers at people for any reason based on the gifts of the Spirit. We don't belittle people based on where they are in the process of using a gift. Remember, we talked about riding a bike, right? And when you're a kid and you're just learning how to ride a bike, what's one of the worst things you could do as a parent or a brother or older brother or sister? Is to make fun of your younger brother or sister for falling off the bike when they're just beginning to learn. That doesn't bring good fruit. That's not love. That's not good. We don't rejoice in wrongdoing. We don't rejoice in that. We're all growing up. And we need to encourage one another as we're growing up. Not discourage one another. I think of basketball. And I can't stand it when fans from the other team do this. Fans from our team don't do this. We're East Valley Athletes for Christ. Our fans are awesome people, and they don't do this whole airball thing. I don't think they do. If they do, don't even tell me. I don't even want to know about it. But just go talk to them directly. But here, a guy is out on the court playing with everything he has, working hard. He's tired. He's worn out. He's trying to do the right thing. He turns to take the right shot. He shoots, and he misses everything. Doesn't hit rim. Doesn't hit net. And what does the other team do? What does the other fans do? Airball, airball, air. They're rejoicing in wrongdoing. They're rejoicing in somebody not quite accomplishing what they were hoping to accomplish. That's not love. Love is the complete opposite. We encourage. When a guy on my team takes a shot that's a good shot, an open shot, and they miss, I don't say, "What are you doing? I can't believe that. That's horrible." I say, "That was a good shot. It was the right shot to take. Take it again next time." That's how we need to treat one another as it relates to the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Is as we're learning, as we're growing up, as we're learning how to ride that bike, as we're taking shots for the kingdom of God, we're shooting it up, we're taking the right shot that we feel it's the right time, and we're doing that. If it doesn't go in, as brothers and sisters, as teammates, we encourage one another. We don't belittle. We don't say, "Airball, airball, airball." We say, "That was the right shot. You took the right shot. Take it again next time." Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Again, growing up can be messy. We've got to endure and bear with one another as we're growing up, as we're growing up in the Lord, as we're being sanctified, as the old is falling off and the new is coming, as we're learning to walk in the gifts, as we're embracing the things that God has given us. We're not expecting instant maturity. We're growing up and we're helping one another grow up in all that God has for us. We must believe the best in one another. We must also hope for the best in one another. Our approach and our use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit must be wrapped in love. All right, so that was my little commentary of verses 4 through 7 in the context of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. How we must wrap the gifts in love. Now, I know that as we move forward, as we're wrapping the gifts of the Holy Spirit in love as a church congregation in this manner, that God is going to be pleased and He's going to be glorified and He's going to take us from glory to glory. And we're going to see God move in wonderful and beautiful ways. So often we'll look at passages of Scripture and just because we're fearful, we'll take something like this. Okay, we have these gifts, but I don't want to mess up. I don't want to shoot an air ball, and I also don't want to use it in an improper way. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to kind of put them in the cupboard back there, shut the door. That's the wrong approach. That's the wrong response to what Paul is saying here. He's saying, use the gifts. They're important. They build up the whole body of Christ. You're needed, and your gifts are needed in the body of Christ. You are needed. You're gifted, and you're needed. Just make sure that you wrap those gifts in love. Don't discard them out of fear. You see, what this does is it requires us to walk in the Spirit. It requires us to stay connected with God as we use those gifts. We can't just willy-nilly do it however we think we're going to do it. Oh, we got the gift, now God's out of the picture, I just go use it. No, we have to lean on the Lord at all times. And so as people who trust God, who know that He's good and know that He's able, as people who listen to the voice of the Lord, we don't take the gifts and throw them in the back corner, in the closet, and shut the door. Rather, we lean on the Lord and then we say, "God, lead me in it. Teach me. Show me. I'm yours. I'm willing." And we step out and we encourage one another in this way of living. We advance. We see God's kingdom come. And we see the church going to a whole nother level when we respond this way. How many of you guys know that God's way always works? It does. This is God's way. This is the Word of God. This is His way. His way always works, and His way is love. That's what Paul's reminding the church. His way is love. Part 3, third part of our discussion this morning. In the end, what remains? Love. One thing remains, right? Love, we sang the song. Everybody knows it now because we sang the song. Music is powerful. Be very careful what you listen to. All right? Make sure it honors the Lord. Make sure it's speaking truth because we're putting it in. Very, very important. What remains? Love remains. Let's hear how Paul says it. Verse 8. Love never ends. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. When I was a child, I spoke like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. But when I became a man, I gave up childish ways. For now we see in the mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Wow. So this passage has all kinds of truth. It is packed with all kinds of truth. Let's do a little bit of unpacking, a little unwrapping here, and see what exciting truth we really are reading and we really are dealing with right here. What jumps out at me is that the gifts, these amazing gifts that Paul is pointing out and saying that we're gifted and you're needed and you need to use them, eagerly desire them, those very gifts, Paul is saying, are going to pass away. As beautiful, as good as they are, these will one day, these gifts will no longer be needed. Interesting. When are they going to pass away? When the perfect comes, is what Paul says. He says, when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. So, what is the perfect? That's actually the wrong question. It's not what is the perfect, it is who is the perfect. Because even in this passage, Paul is saying, when the perfect comes, and we're going to see, not dimly, but face to face, the perfect. So a what doesn't have a face. What doesn't have a face? A who, a person, a who has a face. And so, who, let's ask the right question, who is the perfect? We know there's only one who is perfect. There is only one who is good. Jesus said, you say I'm good, there's only one who's good. There's only one who is perfect. There is only one who is sinless. There is only one spotless lamb. There is only one who is perfect. His name is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And so Paul is saying to the church that when Jesus, the perfect one, returns, he's returning. You read the Word of God, it's all over. Jesus is coming back. He is returning. It's everywhere in the Word of God. Jesus is returning, and when He, the perfect one, Jesus, returns, we will, this is cool, see Him face to face. We'll no longer have confusion. We'll no longer wonder what He looks like. It will not be as looking through a glass dimly any longer. We will see Him clearly face to face. We will hear His voice audibly because He will be here with us. Come on. That's awesome. We will see Him. We will hear Him. We will no longer then need prophecy. We will no longer need tongues. We'll no longer need the gifts of knowledge and of wisdom anymore. We will no longer need these gifts because Jesus will be here right now with us. We will no longer need to prophesy about Him, for He will be here. When the perfect comes, these gifts will no longer be needed. We will see Him clearly and we will know Him. These beautiful gifts, which are powerful, what they are, they're a witness. The gifts of the Holy Spirit are a witness of Jesus, and they're a taste, and they're a foreshadowing of His kingdom and who He is and how He operates. They are a witness of the perfect who is to come. That's why they're so important. The more I'm studying this, the more I keep going back, I keep seeing that the gifts of the Holy Spirit are not optional. They are necessary. They are extremely important to the body of Christ because they are a witness to God Himself, the perfect. They are what we have right now until He returns. And so who are we to think that we don't need this? Jesus Himself sent the Holy Spirit. Because we need the Holy Spirit here with us right now. We need God with us. The Holy Spirit sent these gifts. Why? Because we need them until Jesus returns. They're vital to the body of Christ, to every single believer who's been given gifts. They're vital to the life of the church. They're vital to the kingdom of God advancing. They're vital to the lost coming to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You can pray all you want for the lost, but until we are operating in the gifts in a loving way, wrapped in love, the right way, God's way, we will see less than. This is God's word. This is truth. This is reality. We can make up doctrines to try to discard this or discard that, but God's word says, you need the gifts. They're important, they're vital, until the perfect Jesus Christ himself returns. Even the Bible is a witness. The gifts are a witness. Even the Bible, the Word of God, is a witness. It says in John 5:39, you search the Scriptures because you think that in them you have eternal life. And it is they that bear witness about me. Where does eternal life come from? Jesus. The Scriptures bear witness to Jesus. They point people to Jesus. The Scriptures are needed until Jesus returns because they are a witness of Christ. And then Jesus, the perfect, comes and fulfills it all. One thing remains, love. When the perfect Jesus comes, when we see him face to face, all these other things are going to pass away. Not just like be discarded, they're going to be fulfilled. They're going to be completed. You see what I'm saying? Fulfilled and completed when he returns. But until that day, he's given us his holy word. He's given us the Bible. Treasure it. Use it. Know it. Spend time in it. Live by it. It's a witness. We need it. It is a treasure that God has given us. We've got to be in it and know it. It draws us to Jesus. It draws us. It reminds us. We got to have it. He's also given us, until the perfect comes, the Holy Spirit. You got to know him. You got to be filled by him. I'm leaving to be with the Father, but I'm sending the Holy Spirit. The church gets together, they pray, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Know him, be filled by him, live by the Spirit. And then the Holy Spirit has given us these amazing gifts. We got to embrace them, use them, and enjoy them as we wait for the perfect Jesus to return. This is what it looks like to be the church. This is beautiful. This is incredible. I'm telling you, the more I study this, the more convinced I am that we've got to be a people who trust God in all of this and allow him and his ways to be active in our lives. Not to be fearful, but to know that everything from God is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from him. And these are good and perfect gifts that he's given the body of Christ. Let me conclude. I just want to summarize this message to the church very quickly. Paul is saying, look, you've been given some amazing gifts. Every one of you who are in Christ Jesus, you are gifted. And they're special. And they're powerful. And they are necessary. In my notes, I even underlined that word, necessary. They are necessary for the church to thrive and to impact our world. They've been given to you, the church, to use until the perfect comes, until Jesus returns, so that the church can be effective and do the work of the kingdom. Remember, Jesus said, you're going to do these things, but even greater things. This is part of God's way of how he's equipped the church to do the things of Christ and even greater things. We don't do it in our own strength. We do it by the Spirit. And we do it by receiving his fullness, his guidance, his help, and his gifts to use to do those things and even greater things. There's no mystery about that. It's right here in God's word that is a witness to us, showing us God and his way. However, when we use these gifts, we must use them in a manner that brings life, that brings encouragement. It builds others up. We've got to wrap these gifts in love. So I just want to tell you, accept these gifts. Don't be afraid of them. Accept them. Eagerly desire them. Somebody said, hey, I've got a gift for you. It's a bar of gold. It's in your house. It's available to you. I've dropped it off for you. You would turn everything over to find that gift. This is a gift from God, greater than gold. It's eternal. But remember, we got to wrap these gifts in love. I want to end with the last verse of this chapter. So now, faith, hope, and love abide. These three. But the greatest of these is love. Love is the greatest because love never ends. It remains. Love never ends. You see, Jesus, when he returns, our faith is complete. When Jesus returns, our hope will have been realized completely. But one thing remains, love. Love goes on and on for all eternity, forever. And so we wrap our lives, we wrap our relationships, we wrap our actions, we wrap this church in love. We wrap the gifts of the Spirit in love. Because love never fails. Love never ends. Because God is love. Amen? Amen. Let's stand up.